time, we'll get started. सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। We'll chant first shloka of Bhaj Govindam. Bhaj Govindam, Bhaj Govindam, Govindam Bhaj Mudhamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukran Karane. There was once a professor, and this professor studied a lot, knew lot and lot of different subjects, and also was very proud of what he had studied. So this professor decided once that, you know, he wants to travel through a boat from one place to another. So he got on the boat, and you know, the professor, being an intellectual, he wanted to get into like intellectual conversations with somebody. So now he himself was on the boat, and then the one who was driving the boat. So poor guy, you know, he can't pass his time, so he gets into conversation with this ferryman. So he asks, how much have you studied in your life? So this ferryman says, oh, what do you mean how much I have studied? Like your education, how much did you study? He says, I didn't study anything. He says, what? You didn't go to any school? He says, no. My father taught me this profession at young age, and then I started with this profession. Says, you wasted 25% of your life. You didn't study anything. Your life has gone to waste, 25%. He says, okay, fine. You did not study. But you must be knowing how to do transactions, right? Like your earning ability. How is that? When you ask people to enter your ferry, you must keep competitive wages, right? So you must have a good skill like that. This is what business skills you're talking about. Sir, I have no business skills. He says, what? You have no business skills? What if somebody comes and steals from you? Or somebody cheats you? He says, I never think about it like that. Whatever people want to give when they come from this place to get them to the other place, they give and go. Only thing I worry about is, I should not cheat others. If they want to cheat, let them cheat. He says, so you did not learn any business skills. 50% of your life is gone, over. You wasted 50% of your life. So now this professor asks again, well, what about your soft skills? How are you with that? You know, do you get into social conversations with people? Do you have good communication skills and like that? So this man says, I don't know what you talk about, sir. My only simple job is to take people from one end to another. I earn my living off of that. I give a little bit to my family after that, whatever I earn. And that is how I've been making my living. I don't get into any conversations with anybody. I just mind my own business. So this professor is furious. He's like, what? You don't have any soft skills? You don't interact with people in society? How do you know what is going on in the society? How do you know the current events? You've wasted another 25% of your life. 75% is gone. And this professor can't talk anymore. He's like, if I ask him more, he's not going to respond at all. And they were going. All of a sudden, the water becomes turbulent. There is a storm. And the boats start rocking. So this poor ferryman trying to make sure that, you know, the boat is as steady as he can make it. But nonetheless, the waves were strong and it flips the boat over. Both of them are in the water. And then this ferryman asks the professor, sir, do you know how to swim? So this man says, no, I've never learned swimming. He says, your 100% of life is over. Has gone to waste. And he swims across. The ferryman is able to swim across. He says, this is what I learned, how to swim. And he goes to the shore. We were seeing with Bhajagovindam this thought. Nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane. This word dukrin is the idea of all the baser knowledge, all the lower knowledge. By lower, we are talking about worldly knowledge that gives us an understanding about what is this subject matter, what is that subject matter. But they do not come to protect us when the time of death comes. I have read how to swim. You have to stroke from this way, that way. But if you have not gone into water and only theoretically known about swimming or watched, that knowledge is useless. Similarly, Bhajagovindam is the higher knowledge which helps us cross the ocean, which protects us from the fear of samsara. So therefore, we were seeing this idea of what Bhajagovindam means. And Adi Shankaracharya ji is not condemning the aparavidya. Dukrin karne aparavidya. Apara, lower, baser. Bhajagovindam, paravidya, higher knowledge. So he's not condemning lower knowledge. Only thing he's saying is that lower knowledge cannot help you cross this samsara. It can give you many things in this samsara. It can give you many, many amenities, pleasures. But it will not help when the true judgment day comes. When that 80-year-old man who is at his deathbed, suffering from the pains of the body, that old age, sure, he can take some painkillers to block those things from his mind, but still, that doesn't get rid of the sorrow that he has to deal with the body. That is physical. So say to a certain extent we can even control the physical part of it. What about the mental pain, the mental sorrow? You come to that stage, and then at that time you think to yourself, all these belongings that I have accumulated, I have to let go of it. Our mind wouldn't even want to let go of it. And that sorrow comes. How can I let go of it? Sometimes people say, you know, I came to this stage and I had a flashback of all my life. Like that near-death situation. And they say, I had the whole flashback of my life. In that flashback, you know, normally what we see is all those mistakes, the crimes, not the crimes, but all these papas that we have committed, those are the only things that come about. Again, they sorrow, those things that trouble us. We can't take any medication pill and block those out. At that time, what protects? Bhajagovindam alone protects. So remembering the name of Bhagavan, remembering the ideology of what Govinda means, it protects at the time of death. But it also protects even after death. The wealth we have cannot be taken to the next life. We all know that. All our possessions have to be dropped and we have to go. But what travels with us is the merits, the punya, and the demerits, the papa. So by chanting Bhaj Govindam, we accumulate this punya, which will travel with us if we have next birth. If I end everything here, then I don't have to worry about next birth. But if I have not ended, it protects even after. Therefore, Bhaj Govindam, because that alone protects, nothing else. Now, bhaja Govindam, bhaja Govindam, Govindam bhaja. So what is bhaja and what is Govindam? Bhaja means to worship. Bhaja also means to serve. Worshipping is one thing. Oh, I, you know, admire Lord Krishna. I like to sit in front of Lord Krishna and just be in that environment. And somebody says, can you please help move this chair? Can't you see I am doing my puja here? So one who only considers a narrow way of worship is limited in their thinking. That worship also should turn into service. Sure, if you don't want to take the table, maybe you serve in different fashion. But that inner feeling comes out that I see everything as one. My service becomes to the entire community, to the entire nation. So bhaja means to serve. Bhaja means to love. To see oneness in what we are doing. Oneness with Bhagwan. oneness with the inner nature. So that is what I am worshipping. And why Govinda? Why use the word Govinda? So Govinda, Vinda comes from the root vid, which means to know. That is one meaning of vid, means to know. Other meaning is to be. And another meaning is to to know, to be, and to I will explain it with the sentence, how it works. So that is go with. And go means cow. Go also means senses. Go also means earth. And then go also means scriptures. So these are the meaning of go and with. So now how these are connected, that's where you come to know. Cows and senses are kind of like similar. They need somebody to make sure that they are in control. You have a big herd of cows and they will just roam around wherever the grass is. So they feel like, oh, this is here. But they won't know it is dangerous to go there. So then a gwala, like Krishna, is able to make sure that they are in line, in check. Similarly, as our senses. They feel that this is good. But then that inner intellect within us should tell that this is not good. This is going to cause you more harm. So senses and cows, they are controlled. So when they are controlled, by who? The inner illuminator. So by knowing, this is the meaning that comes about, is one who illumines the senses and makes them function. I know that to be myself. And with that, I control my actions. So when I do Bhaja Govindam, I'm telling myself, I'm controlling my actions, my sight, my vision through this way. That is one. Other is, the meaning of Veda, right? We said go means Veda, that knowledge. And one who is described through this knowledge as the Supreme Being. So with here is also with this idea that one who is revealed by the scriptures. So the scriptures reveal, and Bhagavad Gita also mentions, Bhagavan Krishna only mentions that in the Vedas, I am the one who is revealed. So I, the Supreme Being. So Vedas' essence is that which is revealed, and that is what I am worshipping. That I, may I come to know my inherent nature through this process of inner journey, may I come to know my supreme nature, which is revealed by the scriptures. That is a second meaning. And the third meaning is one who is earth, right? So earth. Go means earth, and one who upholds the earth, one who pervades through the entire earth. be, right? So one who is in everything in this earth, so that is Govinda. He is the Narayana. In living and non-living, equally being present. So may he, the one who is the manifestation in this creation, be my protector. Bhajagovinda. So one is, may this illuminator of my senses guide me in controlling my senses. That becomes one meaning. Second is, may the one who is revealed through the scriptures, that knowledge be revealed to me by my worship. And third is, may this Bhagwan who is upholding this entire creation uphold me, protect me. That is Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam Bhaja. And three times also, because our activities that we do, our actions that we do in this creation, in this world, in this life, happens at three facets. Manasa, vacha, karmana. Mentally, speech way, and action. So each time I'm saying, I'm making sure that my mental actions also align with that worship. My speech also is aligned, and my actions, my physical movement also is aligned. And whatever you say three times becomes truth. So, Bhaj Govindam, Bhaj Govindam, Govindam Bhaja, Moodhamate. And Moodhamate, one whose mati, whose intelligence has become deluded. So he is saying, Shankaracharya ji is saying, that you have intelligence. You have just put that intelligence in the wrong place. So he's addressing intelligent people only. He's not addressing fools. Just they are fools because they're directing that intelligence in wrong direction. Like that old man at 80 years of age. Therefore, this entire book of Bhaja Govindam is also called Moha Mudgara. Moha Mudgara. Mudgara is that, you remember those Pahalwan, they have those long, wooden stick. It's like thicker at the one edge, but at the handle. That is called mudgara. And then they use the exercise. And then they use it to beat up some things also. If you come in front of them with that, you may get beaten up also. So that is mudgara. So you take that and you hit it on your moha. That is why it is called moha mudgara. So he will point out, Adi Shankaracharya ji will point out to us what our mohas are. All these different delusions that we have been carrying. And then he puts a hammer on them. Says, this is what you are doing. You should do this. And then he says, Bhaja Govindam. So this first sloka, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Moodhamate, that becomes like the base of all the shlokas. So we'll find that in every single shloka. Let's move on to our shloka number 2 with that introduction. Moodhajahi hidhanagam trushnam. Kuru sadbuddhim manasi vitrushnam. Yallabhase nija karmopattam.
Yallabhase nija karmopattam.
Vittam tena vinodaya chittam.
Vittam
Together now from beginning. Moodhajahi hidhanagam trushnam kurusad buddhim manasi vitrushnam yallabhase nij karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam bhaj govindam bhaj govindam govindam bhaj moodhamate samprate sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukrun karne. There is one interesting story about what this worship really means and why the name alone protects. So Lord Shivji, we all know, is like the treasure of knowledge. And all the knowledge he possesses. Sada Shiva Samarambham. So starting from Lord Shiva, he is the first guru of all the gurus. So he has collected so much treasure of knowledge. So people came to know that Lord Shiva has 1 crore shlokas. All over the world, they came to know he has this treasure of 1 crore shlokas. And they thought to themselves, we should go to Lord Shiva and we should ask for this. So a group of devatas, group of asuras, and a group of manushya, they went to Lord Shivji and thought, you know, we will make an appeal for the knowledge. So they went, they knocked on the door, Shivji welcomed them, and he said, what it is that you want? He says, we have heard you have so much knowledge, can you share that knowledge with us? So he says, Lord Shivji says, sure, I will definitely share the knowledge with you. Because he is Bholenath. So you ask him anything, he will give. He says, yes, I will share. But I cannot be partial. I cannot say that I will give more to the devas and less to the asuras and somewhere in moderation to manushya. I have to give equally. So I will divide my 1 crore in equal parts for all of you and give. So if you divide 1 crore, you get 33 lakhs equally to each. You cannot do 33.3 like that. So you do 33 lakhs. Okay. So he gives to devatas, gives to asuras, gives to manushya. He is left with 1 lakh. 1 lakh. He gave 33, 33, 33. 1 lakh remaining. Now, again some people found out that he has still 1 lakh shlokas that he can give. So again few groups came. And few devatas, asuras and manushya. They came, they knocked on the door. We hear you have 1 lakh shlokas, we want knowledge from you. Lord Shivji says, sure, but I have to be impartial, I cannot be partial. So I'll give you equally. So he divides that into 3. So where do we go now? 33,000 each. He is left with 1,000. Again another people came that, you know, he has 1,000 shlokas, that also is lot. 1,000 we are talking about, that is lot. So they said, fine. Lord Shivji said, I'll give you. So he gives? 330. He gives 300. Yeah. Or 330, you say. Chalo, 330. 330, 330, 330. He's left with? 10. Again, few people come. Can you give us knowledge? Sure, I can give you knowledge, but I have to divide equally. So he gives 3, 3, 3. He's left with 1 now. So now, again, few people came asking for knowledge. But now the shloka is a poetry, right? So how do you divide one shloka? You divide by pada. And depending on which shloka it is, which chandas it is, this happened to be Anushtup Chanda. So 8 akshara in each pada, total of 32. 8, first pada, 16, 24, 32. So people came, he said, okay, here is your first pada, here gave to devatas, second pada gave to asuras, third pada gave to manushya. He's left with 1 pada, 8 aksharas. Again, a group came, said, we want knowledge from you. So he divided that 8 akshara also, equally. So 2 to devas, 2 to asuras, and 2 to manushya. He had 2 left. Again people came. The 3 groups formed and said, we want to know the knowledge of these 2 aksharas also. Shivji said, over my dead body. I will not share this knowledge even if it means I have to die. So, you know, they were very curious that he gave out 1 crore or 99.999999% of shlokas. What would be so important that Shivji is willing to die for these 2 aksharas? They were very curious to know. So he said, can you tell us what is this? He says, that is Ram. And I cannot share this with you. That is bhakti, devotion. Rama Nama. Bhaja Govindam is with that understanding. When we worship, that devotion has to come. That's why many times we hear, right? Bhagavan will give mukti. Bhagavan doesn't easily give bhakti. So, this is how we come to see the bhakti through this. Knowledge also we will see, bhakti also we will see. Moodha jahihi. O moodha, O fool, give up. Give up what? Dhana agama trushna. Give up trushnam. The desire, agama, of coming wealth. Give up this desire of acquiring, getting more wealth. That I should get more wealth. Keep on coming. Give up that desire. So now people normally say, what? Give up wealth? If I give up wealth, then what do I do in life? No, that is not what Adi Shankaracharya is saying. Not saying give up wealth. As Gruhastha, that is our dharma, to acquire wealth. But give up the desire that I should get more and more wealth. That I should keep on accumulating. Keep on filling up the banks and the balance. That is what he is saying, give it up. We should think why we are accumulating what we are accumulating. So this desire is such a thing that is hard to give up. It doesn't go away so easily. If we think about it, there are other vices that we have. Anger. Anger, to certain extent, comes to us, right? But when it comes to us, after a while, it goes away also. If we rationalize, we think, then it goes away faster. If we don't, over time, we come to lose that anger also. Hunger. You keep getting food. Right? But after time, that hunger also goes away. We feel satisfied, content. Greed. There is no end to it. I want more. If I have little, I will even want more. This is too little. This is what the Trishna is. Because it never makes us feel that I am accomplished, I am fulfilled. So therefore, I will want more and more. So very interesting thought is, what are these desires? Why is this desire so strong for accumulating wealth? Why do I have this urge that I should accumulate wealth? And if we understand this, then we can come to understand how to make our buddhi change. How to turn it around. So why do we acquire wealth? So one such reason is to enjoy the pleasures. We ask somebody, why do you want to earn a living? That is the question, that is the answer they will give. I want to enjoy the pleasures. So I can go from here to a nice vacation. And what are you going to do on the vacation? Sit on a couch and do nothing. Well, that you could do at home also. No, but that's not the same. Why do you want to earn wealth? So I can go to a nice restaurant and eat a good meal. Your wife makes good food, but it's not the same. That is dal. This is sambar. It has little tadka, different flavor. So, we always have this pleasure that we want. We're not satisfied with the ordinary things. We think that is not going to make me happy. So we want to enjoy pleasure, and in order to enjoy pleasure, obviously I'm going to need money. It's not cheap to go to a restaurant or to go on a vacation or to buy a nice luxury car or to have a house. So all of these require wealth. Another, one gets respect. When you have wealth, people will automatically salute you. You walk the streets of India with a jacket on. People will come and salute you. Say, the moment you actually land at the airport, they'll come pick up your bag. You wear like normal khadi clothes and dhoti and all this, and you have luggage with you. They will think, he only has rocks in this, nothing else. I have to do majuri and he's not even going to give me anything out of this. You get respect. False respect. There was one man who was going through the streets. His car stopped at a signal. And people would come and knock on the door because the car was tinted windows. People thought, you know, some rich fellow in there. It was a rich fellow. People would knock and say, sir, how are you? They knew who the fellow was also. So they would go and salute him. And he would say, I will convey your message. That is all he said. Again, somebody came, knocked on the window. He rolled the window down, said, "Sir, salam. How is everything? Everything's good. I haven't seen you in recent events." Says, "I will convey your message." Then the driver asked, "You keep saying, why do you, you'll convey the message, you'll convey." "They're telling you only. Who are you going to convey the message to?" He says, "They're not telling me. They're telling me because of the money. So I will convey the message to the Lakshmi." So the respect is bought. It is not truly there. So one gets respect out of wealth. It makes you feel good. So that's why that desire is there. Talking about why it makes it very harder for us to give up the desire. So the benefits it gives us respect, nourishes our ego. If I have wealth and I use it for certain purposes, I can say to myself or boast in the community, you know, they needed that money for that fund. And I, my name, you see, it's on there. I gave this money. So it nourishes our ego. I can say that, you know, I've done something. And if you do it for good cause, you tell everybody, all people around. So this is how we get trapped in this. It nourishes the ego. It provides security. When wealth is there, our thinking is, when I get to that old age, I will be able to have a security in life. I don't have to depend on somebody else. My 7th generation will eat off of this. I want that much of security. And we truly know that we will never use any of that. But still, that feeling it gives that if some downfall comes, I can rely on this. There was one man, rich guy, who was going through many satsangs, and something struck him that, you know, this path of sannyas, this path of renunciation, is a really noble path and should be followed. So he went and took sannyas. And everybody knew that his nature was a little more rajasic. His nature was not depending on anybody. So when he took sannyas, he thought to himself that I will keep a little money in the bank account. Because as a sannyasi, you know, you don't have anything. You're a beggar. He didn't want to rely on that beggary. He liked the idea of being a sannyasi. So he took up renunciation because he was in the retirement age. So he can take it. So he took that sannyas. And then for his security, he kept the money. And he would do his sadhana, do his practices and everything. But he would always find that when he is with sannyasis, they all looked happy. But he always had this notion of worries, of anxiety. So then once he asked one of the other sannyasis, "You know, you do all the practices that I do. We almost have similar daily routines also. Yet I see you more happy. But I cannot seem to find that happiness in my life. How come?" So that sannyasi told him, "It is because you are still holding on to this idea that you yourself are driving your life. You yourself are protecting yourself. I know that Bhagwan is protecting me, is protecting my life. And I have given it up to him. So he will take care. I don't have to worry. That's why I don't have to show any tension. Whereas you think to yourself that you have to protect yourself in future. You have to survive. That is what is causing the worry. Security. If I have it, my life will be pleasant. Who to say that it will truly be pleasant? What if you fall somewhere, break your leg? Will money buy you a new leg? No. It will buy you a prosthetic, but it cannot buy you the same thing. We live with the adjustment then. So, wrong notion is there, that it will give me security. There are a few more that we will see, but for our next week. Why our desire is strong is what Adi Shankaracharya is saying. And how then we should turn it around. That is the idea of shloka number 2. So, let's conclude today. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.